Hello, my friends, mis amigos. What's up? Hello, hello. Guys, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. All right, anyways, I'm done with that. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Sebastian Gomez. I hope you guys are doing good. I hope you guys have had a good week. Welcome to episode 24. Yes, this is episode 24. Actually, it's not episode 24. This is actually episode 25, but I had to delete episode 24 because I didn't want to ruin my friend's career. And so I had to delete the episode and just be like, okay, let's just put this to the side and we'll just redo episode 24. So if you watch the now secret episode 24, what's up? Your real one. Thanks for watching. Anyways, welcome to the podcast. Like I said before a billion times, I hope you guys are doing good. I hope your week has been well. This week has been rocky, crazy rocky. And I kind of just want to talk about it. Also, I just want to be real and talk about stuff that's going on my mind. I want to talk about my faith today. Today, I'm going to talk about my faith because I learned something new. And hopefully, I could share it with you guys. Guys, do you ever have like a burp when you're talking? You're like, I got to keep this down while I'm talking because then it's going to be gross. Give me one second. Ooh, I think I have another one. Ooh. All right, I'm good. I'm better. Anyways, so there's a couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk about what's happened in the week, my faith, which I think is very important. I think this is the most important thing I've recently been learning and I want to share it. And I hope I do a good job at it, at sharing it. So please pray for me as you're watching this. If I sound satanic, I'm sorry. It's okay. Woo! This is an episode. What am I doing? Okay, anyways. So with that being said, I started off my week with people saying, hey, you should watch Squid Game. And guess what? I'm not going to effing watch it. I'm not going to watch it. And I'll tell you why I'm not going to watch it. Because I'm tired. I don't like watching shows when people tell me to watch shows. I don't know if this is something that other people experience, but when someone goes up to me and says, hey, you gotta watch this show, it's the best. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna watch it when I wanna watch it. I don't feel like watching it when everyone's watching it because I don't effing care. I mean, I do care, but I don't care. And also right now, I'm just trying to focus on work, dude. I'm trying to focus on work. I'm not trying to, I am focusing on work. And I'm just tired of distractions. This week on Thursday, I hit a week of not having Instagram on my phone and I'm going for 30 days with no Instagram on my phone. And I love the app, It's where my career, like that's where I get paid from. And I love Instagram, everything about it. It's just that I watch too many stories. I just watch too many stories and too many reels. And then I end up losing time out of my day. And then I get hard on myself because I didn't work on something that I should have worked on because I was addicted to a reel, hoping that I was gonna find something funny that I could possibly put in a video. And in reality, it's all the same. And even when I look at Instagram stories, sometimes I'm having a great day and I'm looking at an Instagram story and all of a sudden I see that maybe I wasn't invited to some place or someone else is having a good time. And it's not that person's fault for posting that stuff. It's just that I put myself in a position where I can actually get hurt and I don't want to be hurt and I don't want to get hurt. And I want to stop having so many things speak into my life without allowing them. Like I have so many things speak into my life and I don't even filter it. I don't even say no to it and I can't because I'm just watching this stuff, if you get what I'm saying. And so I'm kind of just, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm putting my foot down. If you're watching the podcast, I'm kicking my feet in the air, but I'm putting my foot down because I want to wake up in the morning and just think my own thoughts. I want to wake up in the morning and think of something that's good. I want to wake up in the morning and receive a love you text message from a potential girlfriend, hopefully one day, but that's what I want to, wake up to that stuff. And so I'm just like, peace out, Instagram, just for the month. I love you. Instagram has done so many beneficial things. Instagram, if you're watching, I love Instagram. It has blessed me. It has gotten me where I am today, and it's gotten me the audience that I have today. So I have to give a shout out to Instagram, because you can use it for good and you can share good things with it. I just realized I'm addicted to it, and the way I'm using it is unhealthy. The app is not unhealthy. The app is not unhealthy. Let me say it again. Instagram is not unhealthy. It's not bad. It's the way you use it that is unhealthy. And I realized I had an addiction to it, and I don't want to have an addiction anymore. So I was like, peace out. I'm out. See you later. I'll see you in 30 days, because there's a couple of things that are happening in my life right now. So one, I deleted Instagram. Two, I'm working more on my podcast. I want to do this every week. I want to talk every week on a podcast and stay consistent with it and focus on it. Three, I am running a half Ironman on October 30th down in Oceanside, California. If you live in California, go come check it out. Say hi, come cheer us on, because I'm running with my friend Jake and Mike, my friends Jake and Mike. But yeah, dude, I'm running a half Ironman and it's been killing me. Oh, I just signed up to a 24-hour fitness because I needed a pool, and I didn't feel like going to a public pool out in like 6 a.m. in the morning and it's like freezing cold. But it's still the same thing inside the 24-hour fitness. So I just spent $90 because I had to reassure my first and my last month. Like, you have to pay for the first and last month. So I just did that. Anyways, I paid for a 24-hour fitness membership. I'm going to the pool every morning. I don't know how to swim, all right? A lot of people have messaged me and have said, hey, you look like somebody that doesn't know how to swim. Well, guess what? I'm learning because I've been bullied and I'm a victim of bullying. I'm sorry for my headphone users. I'm so sorry, headphone users. I'm sorry. Anyways, I'm a victim of bullying. I was on a trip in Utah. I'm talking to you guys. Someone who follows me messaged my friend Marissa as I was on a road trip, having the best time of my life. We're looking out. We see like Utah's looking beautiful. There's desert. There's not desert, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like terrain. It's like mountainous terrain. There's valleys and grass and sand. We're heading over to the sand dunes. So beautiful. I was with Sean Sterling and my friend Marissa, and we're driving down, and all of a sudden Marissa gets a text message, not a text message, a DM that says, because I was in her story, that says, that guy doesn't look like he knows how to swim. So that person. Woo! Anyways, it's getting hot in here. So I'm learning how to swim, and it's been good. It's been very tiring though, because I know how to run and I know how to bike. Like, I can bike. Like, yesterday I biked 17 miles. What's up? That's a good flex. What's up, ladies? I'm athletic. And sorry. I'm so sorry. But yesterday I biked 17 miles and then I ran around 7.34 miles. And you know what? Like, I can do that like easy, not easy, but I'm doing it and it's doable. Like, I can do it without finishing or with that. No, obviously I'm finishing. I can finish it without complaining about it. But swimming is just a different beast. I jumped in the water for the very first time this week. In a long time. I can't even remember the last time I went in a pool to specifically learn how to swim. The last time I took swimming classes was in high school, and I would skip class. I would go to the nurse's office and I would tell them, I'd fake some type of sickness. I'd be like, hey, I got a virus in my stomach. I can't swim. And they'd be like, and I was tight with the nurse because I skipped a lot of school. Dude, I'm so sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening to this. They already know. My parents get so disappointed when I talk about this, but I just hated school. But I loved gym class, except when it was the swim season time of gym class, because anytime I'd swim and I'd get so tired to the point where I would be like, dude, I'd swim from one side of the pool to the other side, and I could do that full lap, no problem. But by the time I was heading back to the original starting point, halfway through the middle, I'm just doing backstroke. I'm not even doing front stroke. I'm doing backstroke. My legs would sink. My head would sink. I'm like sipping in water, like chlorine water, and I'm like choking on it. I'd be laying down and water would just go down my nose, down my mouth, and I'd be coughing. And I'd literally be like, this is where I'm going to die. I'm going to die today. I'm dying. Like, this is what's happening. I'm dying. And because of those traumatizing experiences, I've just hated swimming. I've hated swimming. And I was just like, you know what? I'm changing that. Actually, I didn't even want to change that. I signed up for this half Ironman because I've seen a lot of videos. So I was watching Yes Theory's video. I don't know if you guys know Yes Theory, but Yes Theory is a really good YouTube channel. And I've met the boys a couple of times, and they're very, very, very kind. And they really do represent who they are on their videos. And I watched their video and I saw them run a half Ironman. And I was like, I want to become that type of person. I want that credit. Like, I want to be able to tell that story that I've done that. But also I've ran marathons before and I wanted a new challenge. And so I was like, I'm going to do a half Ironman. And this is the worst decision I've ever made in my life. No, it's not. It's not. But it's been incredibly hard because this is the first time in my life I'm being straight, like dead serious. Never in my life have I had to commit to something because I cared for it and I personally invested into it. What do I mean? When I was in school, I didn't invest into my grades or really care much about it because my parents were the ones who were paying. And so obviously if I did bad, it would hurt their pockets and it hurt them. And obviously it hurt me because also, look, I didn't purposely choose to do bad in school. I was just bad at it. And so once because I would try in school, even in the times that I tried in school to do well in school, I still wouldn't do well. So then I kind of just gave up. But now I'm at a point in my life where I'm actually challenging myself and I'm investing everything I have, like everything. Like I've invested like $900 in a bike, $500 to sign up for the race, $200 for new shoes, all this money just to cross a finish line. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm realizing that I have a responsibility for the first time in my life. Like a responsibility that really doesn't affect anybody else except me. And to experience this type of pressure, it really has put me in a position where I have had to learn how to discipline myself and say, guess what, Seb? Even though you don't want to, you're gonna go out to the pool and you're gonna swim. And I don't want to. Do you think I wanna go out and swim? Dude, I smell like chlorine every day. By the next podcast, I'm gonna be a chlorine tablet. You're gonna see me and it's just gonna be the microphone and a chlorine tablet because that's what I feel like. I sniff my fingers and I smell chlorine. I pass out because I smell chlorine. Sorry. Anyways, so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm training for a half Ironman and it's crazy and there's so much discipline involved with it. And my friends think I'm crazy. I've lost a little bit of my social life. And I'm just like, dude, what am I effing doing? Like I've gotten to a point where I wake up, I got to the pool. You know what? Yesterday I was at the pool. I was standing there. Kian called me. And right before he called me, I was this close to like crying, to being like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in a cold pool and run out of breath and look like a fool and get water in my goggles and choke on water. And I don't want to do this. And I have to do this for an hour, like, well, 1,000 yards. I have to swim a mile. I have to learn how to swim a mile in less than 30 days. But guess what? I've learned a lot from this challenge. I've learned a lot from this challenge. And it's taught me a lot about how to trust in the Lord and how to trust in Jesus in the Lord. Why am I saying it like that? It's taught me a lot how to trust in Jesus and really just hang on to him and have him become a part of everything in my life recently. And so that's my segue. And so I'm going to talk about my faith now because I've really learned a lot about my faith through this half Ironman training. And also, I'm talking about my faith today. Just a disclaimer, and I think this goes to anybody who's living their life right now and doesn't have many Christian friends, or if they do, sometimes, basically, I'm going to tell you what's happening. So I'm going to talk about my faith today. And recently, I feel like I've become someone. I was talking to my friend Ryan. We were driving. We left a show. We saw Neza. We saw my friend Neza perform. Amazing performer. Amazing show. It was a great show. And a couple of our friends went out to go drink later. And Ryan wanted to go home. So I offered Ryan a ride. Well, he asked for a ride. And then I said, yeah, sure. Go on the ride. I'm not that nice. So he jumped in the car with me and we started talking. And I think one of the things I do a lot when I go to parties or when I go to events, whether it's a church event, whether it's a party, whether anything in the street or at a coffee shop or a donut shop, one of my favorite things to do is pray for people. And I love praying for people because I want to let people know that if you feel like no one else is rooting for you, let me be the first person to tell you that I'm with you and God's with you. And because I've become this person recently, a lot recently, where I'm praying a lot in front of a lot of my friends and to my friends, sometimes I feel like I look like a crazy Jesus person. I feel like I look like this crazy guy that's obsessed with Jesus. And all Seb does is talk about Jesus. But Jesus has been like everything. Like he's given me everything. He has literally saved me. He's changed my heart. I don't know how to explain it except I used to be, I'm not saying like, oh, dude, I was like the worst of the worst, but I was a bad person, you know, and I thought I was good. And the minute you encounter a love that comes from Christ, a love that doesn't come from anywhere else, the only thing you want to do is share it with others. I was talking about this with a friend actually at church, and I was saying to her, when you have a good friend, when you have a best friend, even a family member that you love so much, and that family member or best friend has impacted you in such a positive way, when you have a good relationship with them, the first thing you're going to want to do when you meet other people is say, hey, I want you to meet my best friend because this person has influenced me in such a positive way that I am sure that he or she will influence you in a positive way and will be a benefactor to your life. And so for me, that's my relationship with Jesus, even on the hard times, like even the days where I hate his guts, there are days, and I'm being real. There are days where I'm extremely mad with God. I'm like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want a relationship with him. But then I have somebody come up to me and say, hey, I've been having a tough time in this or that. And I'm just like, I need to pray for you. Because even though I'm mad at this guy right now, I know later on I will be madly in love with him because I know there's something I have to work within myself. So I pray for these people and I love doing it. But recently a fear of mine has been that, dude, that I look crazy or that I look obsessed or that I look like too Christianese, that I'm out of tune with the world, that I look like I live in a bubble or that I'm playing some type of fairy tale character that doesn't understand the reality of the world. And I think the first thing I want to mention is, yes, I do understand the reality of the world. And that's why I talk about Jesus, because he's made my reality just durable. And I've been able to really get through my days. He's helped me get through my days. Recently, these past 2 months, I've been just waking up with anxiety and panic. And, you know, I wake up and I just tell God, hey, I give you my anxiety, Lord. Like, I give you my anxiety. I give you my stress. I give you my panic. And I hope that, and I know that I don't, I'm not going to feel you sometimes, but I have to bank on the idea that I have to trust you just like I trust gravity. Just think about this, right? We're kids, we go to school, our science teachers teach us about gravity. They're like, this is how gravity works. When you drop this thing, it hits the floor. When you move this way, it slows you down. Or if you go that way, you'll impact the wall or the ground this certain way. And so we know it and we feel it when things happen, obviously, but we've grown so accustomed to it that we forget about it, that we forget that gravity is a real thing. And so I think that's something that I've had to really just apply to myself recently and just tell myself, hey, like, you know that God is real. You know that God loves you. You know about God's promises. And you know that God wants to carry your yoke with you. And even though you don't feel it every day, understand that it's there. And so that's what I've been really just applying to myself. And it's incredibly hard. Like, it is incredibly hard to place your faith and take this idea that I'm talking about and just make it true. Like, make it your truth. Sometimes there are days where I'm just like, what if I just dropped everything and I stopped following Jesus and I just did my own thing? Because there are days that I feel like that. There are days where I'm just like, I'm so tired of this. Like, I'm so tired of hearing about your promises and not feeling them. But the only reference point I have right now is my past. I was raised Catholic and I had a great time. Like, I was pretty Catholic when I was a kid. Like, I did really think I had some type of relationship with God, but most of the time, I would say 97% of the time, or 99% of the time, I just thought that God hated my guts. Like, he wanted nothing to do with me. I had a relationship with him, but I thought he hated my guts. After experiencing all that pain in Catholicism and going to Catholic school and getting bullied, like bullied to the point of suicidal thoughts, I just decided, hey, I'm walking away from this because God, I don't love you. And something here shows me something, what people have told me about you and talked about you, it's not being shown. Because I'm feeling suicidal and I'm feeling depressed and I want nothing to do with you because these are all lies. And so when I was in college, I ended up living my own life. I ended up, you know, in a place where I lived life for myself. And I think this is where I was the darkest I've ever been. Now there's a helicopter flying over, but I think this is the darkest I've ever been because what the heck? Is there like an army? Is the army flying over us? What the heck is going on? Okay. Do you hear that? The building is shaking. You know what that just reminded me of? The building is on fire. Okay. Anyways. So when I was in college, I got to a point where I lived my life for my own and I wanted to be a good person and I could see good happen and I tried to do good. But I was just a crappy human being, dude. And I know my parents are going to be listening to this, but this is my past and this is my truth. Dude, when I was in college, I smoked weed every day in freshman year. And guess what? I effing enjoyed it. I had fun doing it. And I'm not saying, and I know it sounds weird that I'm saying that like with excitement, but I had fun going to parties. I had fun getting blacked out. I had fun smoking and doing all these things and living life for myself. But I always came back home to my dorm room with an emptiness and not feeling like my cup was filled. And I'm mentioning this, and I guess the reason I'm mentioning this is because even though sometimes there are days where I'm mad at Jesus and I don't want to be in relationship with him, I know what my past was without him. And it was bad, dude. Like, it was bad. And I have stories that maybe one day I'll tell on the podcast, but I think for now I just want to share with my friends, my close friends, and eventually for sure I'll share these stories, parts of my testimony. Being able to see the difference of what life is without God and with God, every time I even question about living without him, I always know that my answer is going to be with him, because the multitude of just grace and happiness and joy that I've experienced, not just by myself, but with him and others, has been far more, so much more exciting than it's ever been in my life. And my life has just, I know it sounds like very prosperity gospel, like, but yeah, it, my life has just been so much more amazing than it is without him. And I know I'm talking in circles. So today, dude, I've been talking so much. Sorry, my bad. But today I wanted to talk about something. And the topic is, I'm tired of being a Christian. Recently, this past week, the word wait has been showing up everywhere. And I have been someone who's very, I have the character of just being impatient. Recently, I was listening to a song from Maverick City Music, and Isaiah 40:31 popped up in the song. I think the song is called Wait on You, and I've never heard this song. But Isaiah 40:31 is actually a verse that is tattooed on the back of my arm. My friends Jess and Gabriel blindfolded me, and they asked me, hey, what's your favorite verse? And I said, Isaiah 40:31. And I've always, I think that's one of the first verses that have impacted me. But it's funny how you can revisit verses in the Bible and you could think that you understand it. And for sure, you will understand it to a certain degree and you'll apply it to your life. But sometimes when you reread verses, it could speak to you in a different way and in a different time of your life. So Isaiah 40:31 goes on to say, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. And so I guess the first word that popped up into my head that I started questioning was, what does it mean to trust? What does it mean to trust for those who trust in the Lord? And I realized, and I looked up the word trust in Merriam-Webster dictionary, and the word trust goes on to say to place confidence in or to permit to stay without fear. Okay, so I'm gonna explain to you this because I have this written down, but it's a lot easier for me to just speak out of my mind. I think we see God in three levels of relationship. This is what I've imagined recently. So he's either a guest, a friend, or a family member. And I think when we first start off our relationships with God, we treat him as a guest when he comes into our home. Now, what do I mean by that? Dude, I love having people over at my place. I love inviting people over to have a game night or just eat or talk at my place. But when I have people that I don't know or that I know of and I've heard about the reputation, obviously I want to give them a very good first impression. So when they come over to my place, I clean up my place. I vacuum the carpets. I fluff the pillows. I do my bed. I spray air freshener everywhere. I spray cologne over myself and I make everything just like nice, spot on clean. And I think when we first have a relationship with God, we treat him as a guest. We know of his reputation, we know who he is, and we've heard of him, but when we have him over, we only show him our best selves, our best moments, and then once he comes in and he does his little thing in our lives, we kick him out of the place and we say, all right, God, thanks for being here, appreciate you, thanks for all the miracles you've done in my life, appreciate you, love you, hope you have a good day, I'll talk to you later, and he walks out of the home, our own homes, our own hearts. And then we invite him again once we feel like we have things together again. And so, yeah, I think that's the first relationship we have with God. We treat him as a guest. And then second, I would say, is we treat him as a friend. So I think that's the second level. It's like, okay, fine, God. I've known you for long enough. I know your reputation and I know that you love me. So I'm going to have you come over. And you know what? Come on over. Yeah, my place is a little messy, but it's doable. You're going to come here on my best days and you're going to come here. You're going to come over when, you know, some days are kind of messy, but it still looks like I have my life together. And I'll even acknowledge the mess that I have. And I'll tell you, yeah, there's the mess, God. You're good to go. Don't worry about it. I know you're going to take care of it and I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to clean it up later because, you know, I know you love me and I know I love you. What is this, Barney? But yeah, I think that's a second level of relationship that we have with God where we treat him as friends. We treat him as a friend because I know a lot of the times when I have friends over, you know, I know I can be vulnerable with them. I know I can talk about certain things, and I know that they'll accept me and love me for who I am, but they still have the option to walk out the door. That's something I have been transitioning from allowing him. I've learned that I have to stop allowing God to just be a friend in my life. God shouldn't just be somebody who walks into my place and sees me acknowledge a mess, and then he acknowledges the mess, and I say, thanks for fixing it, and thanks for teaching me how to fix this mess. I'll see you later. But I've learned that I've had to treat God as a family member. And I think that's the third level of relationship with God, where he lives with you. Like, he is your roommate. Like, he is in there 24/7 living with you. And I think that's what God is asking from us. I think he loves people who first get to meet him that treat him like a guest. And he loves people that treat him like a friend. But what he really wants is us to treat him like family, to treat him like our father. You're not just my roommate, but you love me and you want to take care of every aspect of my life. Even when things get dirty, even when I order Postmates and I eat my Postmates and then I decide not to throw away the Postmates bag for like 6 days, you don't care about that because you love me so much. And that's the type of God that I think, that's a type of relationship or trust that I believe God wants to have with us. That's the type of trust that God wants for us. And so, so I think that's the first thing I've learned from the verse, is that those who trust in the Lord have to be people that allow God to live in their homes. But I think the reason why people have been so afraid of allowing God to live in their homes and be their father and take care of them is because we don't know who God is. Like, a lot of us have heard about God from our friends or from church, but we really haven't searched and looked for ourselves and look into the Bible or look at some other areas of information where we could truly know what God's character is. And it's not until we know who God truly is that we can allow him to live in our homes. We have to know God. Like, you wouldn't let a stranger live in your house. You need to live with people that you genuinely know and trust. That's why in Los Angeles, sometimes when you make roommates with people that you genuinely know and trust and believe that they have their best intentions for you. And that's how we have to treat God. We have to know him. We have to be in relationship with him. We have to search him. We have to, and I'm not trying to get legalistic where it's like, we have to read our Bible every day. And if you don't read your Bible, you don't know God. Man, that got me tired. But man, I got lightheaded. But it's not that. I'm not saying like we have to read our Bible, but I think it's important to read your Bible for sure. But I think what God is asking us is that if you want to trust me and I want to be in your home, allow me to have the opportunity for you to get to know me. I think there is a certain extent of like, yes, there has to be work done to get to know God. Like, if you want to get to know somebody, you're not just going to read their Instagram description. I don't know why I'm saying Instagram, but you're not just going to read their Instagram description and be like, all right, I got everything to know about Selena Gomez. No, you're going to want to grab coffee with her. Why did I use Selena Gomez? But you want to get coffee with her. You're going to want to go bowling with her. You're going to want to go to outings and trips with her to really get to know her. And I think that's what God is asking from us. It's like, spend time with me. Like, spend time with me, not because I'm telling you to, but because I love you and I want to take care of you and I want to show you that that who I truly am, and that I can fix those places have been broken by other people and that have hurt you in such a bad way that you don't even know how to fix it. Let me fix that for you. To trust God, we have to allow him to be a family member in our own homes. We have to allow him to be a father to us, and we have to get to know him. We have to allow him to get to know him. But it's a challenge, dude. And it's a challenge because we can get distracted by so many things in our lives. Like, getting to know God is challenging. It's tiresome sometimes. So anyways, I wanted to keep on talking about this because I think it's important. But the verse goes on to say, But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. So what new strength are we finding? When we find this new strength, we have to first acknowledge that this new strength doesn't come from a place of familiarity, but from a challenge. What's the challenge? It's trusting God. The only way you're going to grow or discover a new untapped potential is by doing the things that are uncomfortable. Choosing to follow God is uncomfortable and it can get tiring. I'm training for a half Ironman and some days I effing hate it. Can I say that? I know some Christians get mad that I say effing, but I will work on that. Freaking hate it. I freaking hate it. And, but I know that challenging myself by going out and swimming every day, that struggle that I once had in the beginning, by the end, it will become a new strength for me. And that's what I hold on to. The idea of understanding that whatever I'm struggling with now that I don't understand, later on in the road, I will understand and it will be a benefit for me rather than something I'm battling with. But we're constantly battling, and that's what's the tiring part, and I understand that. And so I think the new strength is the Holy Spirit. The more I allow God to be in my home, whenever trials and tribulations come my way, they end up being just a little more durable, not easier, but durable, because I have the Holy Spirit. I can still stand up. Strength is the capacity for exertion or endurance. So what I think this verse is trying to say is, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. But those who allow God to be part of their life and be in the home of their hearts, they will encounter the Holy Spirit. They will find the strength of the Holy Spirit. And it's cool because later on when you read in these verses, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And you know, the last two parts of that verse in the Message version, it says, they run and they don't get tired. They walk and they don't lag behind. Like, that makes sense. Like, that stuff, you can listen to it and you'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. It's clear. It's to the point. I'll run because of the Holy Spirit. I won't get as too tired. And because of the Holy Spirit, I won't lag behind, you know, but it's amazing how the author uses this word, well, this part, this sentence in the verse where he says, they will spread their wings and soar like eagles. Like, why would he pick that imagery out of everything? And I think the reason he chose that imagery is because the word soar means, and this is the crazy part, I looked it up, soar, the definition of soar means to fly without engine power and without loss of altitude. When you see an eagle soar, you don't see it flapping its wings. It's just gliding. There's going to be times of trials and tribulation where it's not going to be my own strength that's carrying me. It's not going to be me like flapping my wings and being like, I'm flapping my wings. I can't do it. It's not going to be my own power that gets me through it, but the power of the Holy Spirit within me, because I've allowed him to be a part of my home. You know, even talking about soaring, and this is the last part, I'm done. This podcast is over. But as some of you guys know, I really love Disney. Like, I love going to Disney. And one of my favorite rides in California Adventure is soaring. And as I was reading this verse, it got me thinking, okay, like, the definition of soar means to fly without engine power and without loss of altitude. And when you go on this ride in Soarin', which is an amazing ride, I think anyone should go on it. I think it's awesome. But when you go on this ride, the idea is that you're going hang gliding and that you're going to go hang gliding all over the world, all over California, and you're going to just sit and take in the experience. And I think that's the beautiful thing about soaring, is that the ride has you just sit and take in the adventure of life. And I think that's what the author is trying to explain to us. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some Christians are listening to me and they're like, yo, you're crazy. But sometimes I think what the gift is, the new strength is that when we have the Holy Spirit, all we have to do is sit and not use our own strength, but allow the strength of the Holy Spirit to influence our circumstances in life. Sometimes we just have to allow God be God. And that's what I've taken in this week, that waiting on the Lord, trusting in God, is just being like, I surrender. Like, I give this to you. I'm done flapping my wings. I'm done trying to exert all this power. And I'm just going to let you take control of this. So I guess what I'm trying to say today to anyone who's watching this is, let God carry you through it. Let him be a part of your home. Let him show you who he is. Don't be afraid, because he doesn't bite. He doesn't condemn. And he will carry you. And he'll take care of the things that you've been trying to take care of for the longest time. What are those things you got to take care of? Give it to God. There's a lot of things I have personally, whether it's the half Iron Man or relationships or whatever it is. Sometimes all you got to do is be like, God, I give this to you because I know you want to take care of it. And so that's pretty much it. Thanks for watching today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. It was different. It's me talking just by myself, and it was fun. But if you're brand new, we're on the road to 10,000 subscribers, and I hope that we could keep on growing. That's pretty much it. I love you guys. I hope you guys have an amazing week. Jesus loves you. I love you. God loves you. And I will see you next week. I don't know why I'm talking like that. All right. Love you guys. Peace. How do I end this? This couch is comfortable. I want to keep on sitting here. I might just sit here and it'll be another hour of me just sitting here. Okay, probably not. Okay, I love you guys. Peace out. Love you guys. Bye.